Spotify.
Hello. Thank you for choosing the Lackadaisical Ubiquitarist Podcast. Without further delay, here is your host, Jordan Maywood.
Hello! Welcome to the Liberal Cube. My name is Jordan Maywood, and I am the Lackadaisical Liberal Cubicalist. Today, within the Liberal Cube, is Internet Day. Yes, it's combining the best of both worlds of Fridays, which, as far as work days go, are probably the best ones, and internets, which, come on, those are pretty great. They are really, just really good things, really, really good stuffs. On Internet Days, I do not give out spoiler warnings. However, I do always say that I don't give out spoiler warnings, which in itself is a bit of a spoiler warning, when you think about it. But don't think too long, because we have a lot to cover today. Another thing I like to say is that if you like what you hear, the only payment I ask is $1 million. No, that is ridiculous. The only payment I ask is perhaps you pass the podcast on to a friend. Perhaps you rate, subscribe, and comment in iTunes, because that, right there, is what helps others find the podcast. So, thank you for those who have done that. Very, very, I'll throw in an extra very. Much appreciated. That will lead us in to, of course, our last piece of podcast-related business. Today's sponsor, which is the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Minecraft foam gold pickaxe from ThinkGeek. Once again, today's sponsor is the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Minecraft foam gold pickaxe from ThinkGeek. But just on that note, a very little behind-the-scenes action. Behind-the-podcast-scenes action. Which I do from time to time. For example, and this is just an example, not what I'm actually going to say, today in the Liberal Cube is Internet Day. However, in the actual real world, it is Thursday. That's sort of my usual behind-the-scenes type note. However, this is a very special behind-the-scenes type note, in that today's sponsor, which, again, a little behind-the-scenes, okay, I'm warning you, I quite often make up. I hate to burst bubbles. Bubbles have been burst with that, I am sure. But I make up sponsors sometimes. Yes. I'm not going to tell you when, but sometimes they're made up. This particular one is an actual, real, existing thing that I didn't make up. They're not technically sponsoring us, technically. However, this thing that I did mention does exist. If you go to a con, for example, I've only been to two, Fan Expo 2012 and Toronto Comic Con 2013, you will see people walking around with Minecraft swords and more often pickaxes. So the good people over at ThinkGeek, and this very much fits in with our Internet Day episode, because it is from the internet, the people over at ThinkGeek have created sort of a special limited edition version of this thing that they sort of released just during San Diego Comic-Con. So the fact that there exists in this world in which I am speaking a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Minecraft foam gold pickaxe tickles me, so I mention it. Because this is Fry Internet Day, as I have mentioned probably too many times, I could talk about ThinkGeek, why don't I just throw that out? I don't know if I've ever brought them up before. They are a site, a website, that sells things. As you can imagine by the name, they sell very, very nerdy paraphernalia, let's call it. From nerdy shirts to things such as the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Minecraft foam gold pickaxe, Doctor Who, Star Trek, Star Wars, you name it, they have the widest selection and coolest selection of just nerdy shit that you will ever see gathered in one place. If you have a nerdy bone in your body, you will like the site. Living in Canada, I will say, be warned a little bit, because they are in the States, and quite often, the shipping charge that they charge you will not be the only shipping charges incurred when you receive your shipment. And this is true of a lot of cross-border shipping, to be aware of, that quite often you'll have to pay customs fees. And kind of the strange thing, and almost not good thing, is that you don't have to pay customs fees every single time. So it's kind of hit and miss, which kind of can get you into a false sense of security, thinking, well, you know what, I'm going to get this package, and I may not have to pay it. But just consider the fact that you may have to pay it. Okay, that's my public service announcement, the more you know. Okay, that was very, very long preamble before my first item. However, it was all internet-related, so we will allow it, I suppose? Question mark? The first two items, in fact, I have, are sort of intertwined with everything I've said so far, in the sense that they are various coverages of San Diego Comic-Con, which I think is one of those things that I'd add on my list of, if I ever won the lottery, I would go down and go to that. Just seems like a fine kettle of fish, let's say. Yep, fine kettle of fish. San Diego Comic-Con, you heard it here. It is the biggest of the cons. Although, I think I've mentioned this before, Fan Expo here in Toronto is the third biggest. And that's, like, you know, in the world, or is it just North America? I can't remember. But let's say in the world, because that's more interesting. I went to two of my sources for stuff related to this, which is, of course, the Nerdist channel and the Geek and Sundry channel. Let's start with Geek and Sundry. I only watched, or I guess more accurately, brought back this sort of pre-Comic-Con, behind-the-scenes kind of action, which was actually very interesting, because the Geek and Sundry channel sent a couple of dudes, or I guess more accurately, a dude and a dudette, and they had sort of access to the con before the floor was even open to all the hundreds of thousands of people that go, and I believe it is hundreds of thousands, which is just sort of mind-boggling. It covered kind of their drive there. The girl, I didn't write down their names, apologies, but I'm horrible with names, both remembering and writing them down. The girl had been there before, the guy had not, so it was kind of nice to see both of their reactions. Folks, a brief intermission even, while I stop and get a lottery ticket, because yesterday my palm was itchy for some reason, and the missus is like, oh, that means you're going to win the lottery, so that's what I'm going to do right now. Win the lottery. Wish me luck. Time traveling. Look. Back in.
Editing. Editing. Editing.
On the road again. I've written down here nuclear boobies. I don't remember what that means. Oh, no. I remember what it means. On their drive-in, apparently you pass on one of the major highways. Not sure. Oh, yeah, it's like a nuclear power plant, and they have two, I guess they are reactors, that are kind of boob-shaped next to one another. So they call them nuclear boobies. I like that. Stuck in traffic a lot, so they even showed that kind of build-up to it, which I like, because it's not all fun and games, these things. There's waiting in various lines and traffics. They met up with a friendly elderly security guard who talked to them a little bit about what goes on, and let's leave that behind for the Nerdist coverage brought to you by State Farm. Jesus. Matt Myra was in charge of San Diego Comic-Con Nerdist coverage. I assume they were all there. However, Chris Hardwick was doing a lot of panels. I think he did quite a number. And probably, possibly, maybe, will watch some of these panels online if they post them, which I believe they have, and bring them back next Internet Day. That's a thought and a possibility. Just so you know, what I wanted to say about this, and I very, very, very rarely say anything negative about anything, but specifically Nerdist-related stuff, is that the reason I laughed at the brought to you by State Farm is that during this 5-minute video, and it was called Comic-Con in 5 Minutes, Matt Myra mentioned State Farm, if I had to guess, it was nearing a dozen times, which is a lot and blatantly obvious in a 5-minute video. I understand they have to get paid, but it felt kind of to the point of ridiculousness, and it saddened me a little bit. So, could you not, and this is just a thought, have something on the video, like a watermark with State Farm, something of that nature. Mention it once at the beginning, maybe once at the end, but he mentioned it just not good amount of times. So I feel bad for even saying that, because I don't normally say anything negative at all, but that's kind of negative. Whatever. Okay, let's move on to... should be able to get one more in, I think. So, I have brought back, as I do, and have done many a times, a big think. Yeah. The hardest for me not to bring back, of all big thinks, are the ones with Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil deGrasse Tyson, probably your most famous astrophysicist. Probably, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of famous astrophysicists, but he's probably the most popular one, because I believe the reason being is that he combines his super, super intelligence and mixes in a dash of nerdiness with an underlying entertainmentness, yes, I made up a word, which allows people like myself who have never taken a... a physics course to understand, perhaps, slightly, some of the basics of physics, which is a very, very good thing. For some reason, and I don't know why, I have a great love and interest in physics, and it kind of doesn't make sense. I am horrible, horrible at even sort of basic math. I can't even do it, and yet like physics. So it's kind of a weird, let's go dichotomy. Yeah, how about that for a big word? This video was titled, The Three Fears That Drive Us. And when he says us, he's talking us as in the sort of human species, not us as individuals. So I think that's kind of an important distinction, because what drives individuals and what drives the human race are two sort of very different things, although obviously intertwined with one another. So, what I have done is written down the three things for you. Haha! Yes, a perfect kind of logical sense, even. Drive us to greatness. Oh, I forgot to mention that part. Drive us to greatness. Number one is the praise of deities and royalty. So these are things that have helped build the pyramids and castles, and it's obviously not something that is prevalent nowadays, but a lot of the early strives in quote-unquote greatness human beings made as a species was because of trying to get the praise of deities and royalties. So that's an interesting thought, and also I'm not sure if it is necessarily a bad thing that this has kind of gone away, or declined at the very least. We're no longer trying to impressive monuments to our royalty or our gods. I suppose we still build churches, which, you know my opinion on that, so I will not go into it because I don't have time to. The next one is kind of sad, but I suppose true. The next one is war. What is it good for? Technological developments, even technological developments that, although originally start out in sort of the drive of war, such as the Manhattan Project, eventually allow us to know better the cosmos. So he points out in the example of the Great Wall of China, which was put up to keep the Huns out of China, that obviously can be considered greatness from humankind. Hell, it has the word great in it. the Manhattan Project, which developed the atomic bomb. However, now we have sort of atomic energy because of that. So, last one, and I think probably a pretty obvious one, is money. And that's kind of one of those intertwined humans. Oh shit, I think I just ran over a mouse. Don't really see mice in the middle of the road, but I believe I just did. Mouse road. Yes, so that's something that drives individuals, obviously, as I say, as I am driving to work, but also drives human beings and drives them towards greatness. For example, one of the examples he used is Columbus, as in Christopher Columbus. He was looking for a route to, was it India? I believe it was India. I forget off the top of my head. India or China? Yeah, he was looking for a shorter route so he could make more money. Basically, I was curious about Christopher Columbus because it's sort of come out recently that he's not the nicest of individuals. That is just about all the time I have. So, hopefully, I explained that enough. I will be back, though, because it's Hot Internet Day, and I don't think I've ever done a short episode. So, in 8 hours, I will return. For you, it will seem like much less. One final thing to say, and that is, of course, love your dairies. I'm a fool to do your dirty
working, working, working. And we're back.
We are back! We are back! We are back! We are back! Bishop, back! We are back! Back in action!
Hello again. A day of work completed, and we head home with thoughts of the interwebs. Indeed. Relaxing. Yes. Where was I? Ah, yes. Hot Internet Day. Item the fourth, I do believe, although keeping track is not a strong suit of mine. Item four is an episode of Tabletop. We'll just call it a web series, because I have decided, over the course of however many Hot Internet Days I've done, that to call everything a web series just makes it easy. May not always be accurate, but hey, what are you going to do about it, Mr. or Mrs. or Hermaphrodite? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Little known fact, very, very large Hermaphrodite audience this podcast has gained. So thank you to you folk, very much appreciated. I have brought back, if I had to guess, four times, perhaps, four or five, maybe this is the fifth, episodes of Tabletop, which is on the Geek and Sundry channel on the YouTube. Host Will Wheaton, what you will do is get a board game, a tabletop game. Maybe there's not a board involved with it. You don't know. Usually there's a board of some sort, but not necessarily. You will get some friends, and they will play it, and they will record it. While playing it, they will say funny things, and that's your show. Pretty goddamn good idea, and I have yet to see one that I did not enjoy. There was one, actually, that was kind of boring. Not so much for the guests, just from the game. It was a racing game. Somehow they turned the sport of driving around in circles into a board game, and it's about as fun as that sounds. Basically, just rolling dice is kind of how it felt. Mostly, or if not all the other times they played board games, there's a lot more strategy and rules, which makes it difficult, I imagine, for Will Wheaton to explain the games at the top of the show, although he does a very, very good job. And they use sort of his explanation with graphics and pausing the action during key moments of things you need to understand in order to play this game. So, just from that point of view, if you ever want to pick up and play one of these games, if you watched an episode of Tabletop in which it was played, you'd be ahead of the game. The game. I didn't even realize that was going to be a joke. Ahead of the tabletop game. That's actually how I learned to play Euchre, is just sat with people playing it and watched them play. So, on that note, Euchre is fun, and I enjoy it. The game in question, I kind of went on a bit of a ramble there. However, rambles are allowed, and it quite often seems that rambles on hot internet days are inevitable. Inevitable. The game in question was Star Trek Catan, or Catan. I like Catan better. So it's like the game Settlers of Catan, however they Star Trek'd it up a bit, which, as you know, don't know, if you've listened to very many of these episodes, I'm a bit of a Star Trek fan. It's just a teeny-weeny little bit. Yes, biggest Star Trek fan that I know, personally, is myself. Yeah, that's fair to say. I'm not saying I'm the biggest in the entire globe. However, I'm the biggest in the entire globe. No, I'm not saying that. That's not fair to say. There's bigger Trekkies out there than myself, but out of people I know, I'm easily number one. I'm number one at that thing. This is a sort of beautiful on many levels. It's Star Trek rolled up into a board game played by Mr. Will Wheaton, who you may know as Wesley Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation, or TNG, if you prefer a little abbreviation. Also playing with him was Miss Jeri Ryan, who you may know as Seven of Nine from Star Trek Voyager. Also, another girl that had no sort of Star Trek connection. Although, this girl, her name was, I wrote it down, Kiri Walgren, W-A-H-L-G-R-E-N, in case you want to do what I did, which is look at her IMDb page, because she is a voice actress, and something about voice actors and actresses is quite often, and this is a sort of prime example, when you look at their body of work, you will be blown away by some of the shit that you have done and you have heard, and you'd be like, what, that was her? It's just probably many non-voice acting actors and actresses would kill to have this many roles. Like, it's just a mind-blowing number of roles she has had in her career. So, recommend you check that out. She was very, very funny as well, actually, so I like that. Why not, on that note, just say that, bit of a spoiler, a little bit, she won. She was the wiener. So the creators of this game took Settlers of Catan, which is probably one of the most, if not the most, popular tabletop-style games out there. It sells billions of copies. Billions? Is that accurate? Millions. I think we could say millions safely. And then done a couple things, mainly added a sort of Star Trek skin to it, is how you could look at it, but also changed some of the rules and added the addition of a really cool rule that I think makes it more than just putting a skin on it, which is adding the addition of roles, which means you can have, at any given moment, you're sort of thrust into the role of a member of the Starship Enterprise. Oh, I should say on that note that this game is Star Trek the original series. So, for example, you could find yourself thrust into the role of Captain Kirk, or Spock, or Bones McCoy, or all the other ones and stuff. And then depending on which role you are taking on in it, at any given moment, you'll have certain special abilities. So very, very cool, and seemed to work out very, very well. This is a good example of tabletop, so if you're going to jump in, I'd recommend this one. Still, though, to this day, my favorite one, and I like to bring this up, just because perhaps it will be your favorite one, was a two-parter in which they played a Dungeons & Dragons-style game set over the world of Dragon Age, the video game Dragon Age. The creator of the board game was there to run it. Also, Chris Hardwick was there, and as you may or may not know, I'm a bit of a fan of Mr. Hardwick. Yes. Oh, hey, segue. Unintentional segue, but a segue nonetheless. My next item is an episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Haha! Sometimes I have the appearance of planning things, but I can assure you, very, very little is planned ahead, including that segue that was so, so good. The Nerdist Podcast in question is, of course, one of their most recent episodes, if not the most recent, in which they sat down and talked with Mr. Joss Whedon. What? Yes, that Joss Whedon. Of Buffy, and Angel, and Firefly, and Avengers, and Cabin in the Woods, and so many good things. Brain cannot handle it. Yeah, Joss Whedon. Where do I begin with him? With that dude. Awesome. Sometimes, perhaps, we, meaning we as human beings, and me, I don't know if in particular, but sometimes, throw around the word awesome, sort of willy-nilly, and it has, I believe, lost some of its luster. However, when I say the word awesome when describing Mr. Joss Whedon, it is because he gives me awe. I am in awe of him. Not even some. Not even awesome. Awe full. No, not awe full. That doesn't make sense. Full of awe, but not awe full. Wow, that is confusing. Good luck learning English, people who don't speak it. Because it is difficult. Difficult, even. Something that I'd sort of never done the math on, but I guess makes sense after he had spoke of it, is that Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the television show, in my top five of all TV shows, easily for me to say that, as well as Angel, which is in there as well. Let's throw it in my top 5 or 10, as well as Firefly, also in my top 5 or 10. They were all on TV at the same time, while he was sort of the... I always get kind of confused a little bit on the show business-y part of it. Was he the producer, the creator, the director, the writer? Was he all of those things? Yeah, sure. I don't know. He was involved in all of them to one degree or another. I think that's an easy way for a layman to show business like myself to describe it to you. Yeah? That makes sense. I think. I don't know if he wrote the movie Toy Story or had a hand in writing the movie Toy Story. I kind of think that he actually wrote it. Like, all by his lonesome wrote the movie Toy Story. Whoa, don't go. Which, it was pretty cool just to be on the sort of ground floor of that stuff. The first computer-generated movie, or the first popular computer-generated movie. I'm pretty sure first, just period, no? I think Reboot, which I love, was the first computer-generated television show. Canadian-made, if I do recall. They recorded this episode at Joss Whedon's home, which was kind of cool. They got into it on and off, how Chris Hardwick and Joss did at one time live on the same street, and they'd kind of run into each other every once in a while, and I love picturing this so much. They would apparently yell back at each other back and forth, Monty Python sort of lines, one-liners, and references. So that just warms the nerdy cockles of my heart very, very, yeah, another, very much so. Chris asked him about the Avengers, and I thought it was a good question that, did you fear making it just from the point of view of failure, basically? Fear letting people down because the expectations of this movie are going to be pretty goddamn high. Joss Whedon is not, and this is blatantly obvious in anything I've ever seen him in, not a cocky person. By no means. However, he did say no. He didn't fear failure. Just because this was sort of material, source material, that he had, like, literally grew up on and had turned him into the sort of man nerd that he is today. So I like that thought, that because he's so sort of entrenched within this nerdy world, he knows confidently even that what he sort of creates using these characters, if he likes it, the odds that others will like it is very, very strong. So I like that thought. Yeah, I mentioned they recorded at his house, so his kids were kind of in and out of the room. A lot less swearing in this episode, as you can imagine. It was just one sort of funny note there. They were watching Futurama, which, again, we'll throw that into one of my top 10 shows as well. Hey, why not? Well, we're doing it. That is a good spot to ender as far as the Nerdist and Joss Whedon. If you've ever wanted to hear an hour and change talk with Joss Whedon, this is your chance to do so, and I recommend it very, very, and throw another one in very highly. Let's move on to, going to run out of time, I can almost guarantee it. Two more items, so let's see if I can do it. Fridays. Internet days. They're not long enough. I need somehow to drive longer distances when I record them or something. I listened today, in fact, to an episode of How Did This Get Made? The podcast in which Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, and June Diane Raffio sit down and talk about movies. Movies that are quite often bad movies, considered bad movies. Sometimes, and I'd even go often, bad movies that are so bad they are good. Sometimes bad movies that are so bad that they're bad. In this case, I think it falls into the so bad it's good category. I was kind of getting that vibe. And the movie, of course, is Sharknado. Sharknado. That is combining two words. If you are unfamiliar with the movie, combining the words shark and the word tornado. Why would you do such a thing? Why would that be the title of your movie? Why am I keep asking questions? Because it is a movie about a tornado that has within it sharks. And it does exist. It is real. It is real, people. I have to see this movie. And I don't know how I'm going to, but I don't think I have sci-fi. Do we even have sci-fi channel up here in Canada? I'm not sure. One day I will see it and bring it back on a Movie Monday. They had guests, because quite often they will force someone to watch these bad movies and then come in to talk about it as well. They had guest Scott Aukerman, who you may know as host of one of my favorite podcasts, Comedy Bang Bang. So that's kind of funny because they had originally chosen another movie and forced him to watch that. I think it was a Tyler Perry movie. I think that's what they said. So he watched that, and then they're like, oh, no. Have you heard about Sharknado? We have to do it. So then he had to watch another bad movie. So poor guy. A lot of comedy in this one, and some of the shit I said is just mind-blowing that it exists within this movie. Probably every time I've talked about How Did This Get Made or podcasts about movies in general, I've mentioned that I like it when they spoil things because they don't have to sort of censor themselves and can say anything. That's why I do the same. Every Movie Monday, TV Tuesday, Book Wednesday, I don't try to not spoil things just because that's how I like to listen to things. That being said, I quite often will not listen to a podcast if it is about something I have not seen yet. In this case, I didn't care. I did not care. Should try to move on from this. Just say that because I have no time, I cannot talk about it as much as I would like, but it was funny. Sometimes I feel like it's just me bringing back shit saying, yeah, it was funny, go listen to it. It's kind of degrades down to that sometimes when I run out of time. One thing I didn't know about this movie is that Mr. John Hurt appears in it, and that just made me think, obviously, of Doctor Who and how much I miss it, and how, like, what kind of crazy role is he going to play in the newest episode coming out in goddamn friggin' months. Ugh. Okay, I had a Doug Loves Movies I was going to talk about as well, but I don't have time other than to say the guests were Matt Myra, Claire Kramer. Did I write down her name right? I may not have. She played Glory in season 5 of Buffy, huh? Just sort of on that note to connect things a little bit, as well as guest Leonard Maltin, who, if you are familiar with Doug Loves Movies, he plays a game called the Leonard Maltin Game, in which, on this episode, Leonard Maltin was in studio, not studio, but on stage with him, playing a game named after him. Folks, I'm at home. Whew, in a little out of breath. God damn. If anyone knows how to stretch time out so that I can fit internet days into my drive home, it would be appreciated. Yeah, hey, how about that? One final thing to say, of course, and that is, it is nice to be nice to the nice.
Thank you for listening. This has been another edition of the Lackadaisical Libra-Cubical Wrist. We here in the Libro Cube would love to hear from you. If for any reason you would like to contact us, you can do so via the email address, mailwood.jordan@gmail.com. And now I have a theory.
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
I've got a theory.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine.
Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met.
Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine.
Live long and prosper.